Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And again, I must, on this Thanksgiving, I thank God for my oldest son who helps me put together these sermons. God had given me an idea. And now that I'm older, I used to write all of my sermons. And now my son does that for me and has been doing it for years. And I can give him something as soon as God lays it on my heart, and he can, with his young brain, turn it around and get it done in short order. And so I thank God for that, and I thank God for him helping me with that, as well as all of my children who helped me in the ministry. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and by the grace of God, I want to preach in your hearing a simple Thanksgiving message titled, Why I Thank God for My Imperfect Functional Family. Why I thank God for my imperfect functional family. I did not say dysfunctional, I said functional. I did not say perfect, I said imperfect. Why I thank God for my imperfect functional family. Joshua says it best in Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the little g gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the little g gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor on this Thanksgiving day for multiplied millions of blessings that, Lord, it would take us a million years to give you thanks for individually, for you bless us all over the place. And Lord, forgive us of our sin of ungratefulness, unthankfulness, and taking you for granted. That is done in this country, the most blessed country in the history of the world outside of Israel, your chosen people. And thank you, Lord, for allowing most of us here to be born here. Thank you, Lord, for aliens in the land, as they called them, strangers. My wife being one of them, benefiting from living in this great country, as she is from Jamaica. Was not born here, but is benefiting from how you have blessed this country. And now, Lord, we also praise you today, and we thank you for our imperfect but functional families all across this country, all around the globe. Those people who are smart, those who are wise, those who are spiritual, they're giving thanks for their imperfect families. and their functional families, that somehow they have stayed together, they have weathered the storms, and even though it has not always been pretty, by your grace, you brought them through, and they are celebrating like us today, our 30th Thanksgiving celebration. And as my wife and I are celebrating our 30th marriage anniversary, and all of my children are serving you, even in their adult years, voluntarily on their own, motivated by you, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, I thank you this morning that I don't have to tell them to go to church. I don't have to tell them to serve you, because they already have heard me repeat what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord up in here, up in here. And they've heard this many times, and they're carrying that on into their own houses. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor how you have led me to lead my family to stay focused on the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. For that's how our family can be a purpose-driven family. And that's the thing that has kept us together: prayer, witnessing for Christ, loving other people and helping other people, discipling other people. And we never try to make it all about us sitting on the couch, eating food, and watching the football game, even though we did that. But after we served you and put you first all of these years, and you have blessed our family for that, and you blessed thousands of other families in the same way, because your Holy Spirit speaks to all of us according to your Holy Word, and we all know what we should do. And so, Lord, we thank you for Brother Rick Warren, who wrote a book titled The Purpose-Driven Church. He also wrote a book titled The Purpose-Driven Life. And we hope that he will write a book now titled The Purpose-Driven Family. If he doesn't, Lord, raise up somebody else to do it. The Purpose-Driven Family. Because then we all, if we would take heed to the biblical principles, can have imperfect functional families instead of imperfect dysfunctional families, which is all over the place as well, in a very tragic way. There are people hurting this morning. There are fathers who are alone today in their new bachelor apartment because they are divorced. The wife has the children, and she's gone off with another man to her family. And vice versa, there's a former wife and mother, and her husband divorced her, got the children full custody. She's in her little apartment alone, curled up in a fetal position. And the man has gone off with his new wife and their children to their family. And there are thousands, unfortunately, millions who are hurting that way across this country and around the globe. And as we heard even last night, one of the most painful stories we've ever heard, how a man lost everything. He lost his wife, lost his children, lost his money. And there are thousands of folks hurting like that today, and we pray for them. Comfort them as only you can. Be with them and help them to know that they are not alone. And we pray, Lord, not for them to get a new wife or a new husband. We pray that miraculously and mercifully you would heal these marriages and heal these families. And we thank you, Lord, as we speak, that there are some families that were separated and almost divorced, but somehow they will come back together on Thanksgiving Day and by your grace. So, Lord, have that to happen as well. Whatever the case, Lord, you have never failed us, so help all of us to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all of our friends around the world. It's Thanksgiving Day in America. I don't know if you all have a Thanksgiving Day where you are, in Pakistan, in China, in South Korea, in Japan, in the Philippines, in Paris or London or Frankfurt today, but wherever you are, give thanks and give God the praise, the glory, and the honor. And if you have an Amazon one of those little I forget her name already, Alexa, ask Alexa this morning, wherever you are in the world, to play a song titled My Tribute by Andre Crouch. It will bless your heart, and I hope that you will sing along with him, and she'll play it for you. And so, ladies and gentlemen, happy Thanksgiving to you. This is our family's 30th Thanksgiving anniversary, and it's just mind-boggling to me that I can even say that, because that is not what humanly speaking, it should have never happened. But I give God the glory, the praise, and the honor. And I pray that your family can say the same thing today. And be that as it may, we hear a lot today about dysfunctional families. In the popular discourse of the day, they are a staple of movies, television shows, and books today. It is a big problem across the country. Dysfunctional families, divorced families, separated families, broken families. I was doing some research on a certain individual the other day, and I had my wife working on the project with me, and come to find out, he was born to his mother. He never knew his father. And he's a great star today. And so the family was so dysfunctional that the grandparents took over the child and raised the child as their own. I'm going to try to get this right. And called his mother his sister. Now, you talk about dysfunction, dear friend. I mean, I've never heard anything so crazy in my life. And this is not down in the hood. This is not down in the cut. On the dirt roads of the black community. This is a white family doing this. And so this boy was raised up with his mother, But he saw, as far as he knew, she was his sister. And he did not find out that this woman was his mother until she had died. And see, that's what people do. Especially down in the hood, down in the cut. And all kinds of bad things come out of that kind of dysfunction. But thanks be to God, he somehow made it and became very successful. The dysfunctional family is so prevalent that it might be considered the norm today, and with many it is. Millions of children don't know what it is to have a normal, functional family. Not perfect, but functional, productive, that reaches goals and gets things done. And with so-called extended families gathering all across this country on Thanksgiving Day today, that dysfunction is anecdotally at an all-time high. You will be amazed at what people have to do to try to get to 2 to 3 different Thanksgiving dinners in one day, because they have a father and his family in California, his new family, and their stepsisters there. And then you got the mother with her new family and the stepbrothers and sisters there. And there are people crisscrossing America trying to make it to 2 Thanksgivings. Some say, well, I'll go to this family for Thanksgiving, and I'll go to the other one for Christmas. It's just a mess today. But many people see it as normal. But it is also very painful, particularly for the children. According to Merriam-Webster, the word dysfunctional means not functioning properly, marked by impaired or abnormal functioning, characterized by abnormal or unhealthy interpersonal behavior or interaction. In other words, in the church, we would say that it is not lining up with the Word of God. It's not lining up with the Bible. According to Ephesians chapter 5, in Ephesians chapter 6, it is abnormal. And now some are adding to that and trying to make it even worse. There's a thing out there called polyamory now, where husbands and wives are adding on other spouses, but not having a wedding ceremony. It's the step sister to polygamy, which is alive and well in this world and even in this country. And some groups of people have been doing it for years under the radar. But not only that, now we have guess who's coming to dinner? Now we have millennial sons and millennial daughters not bringing a future spouse or husband for the daughter or wife for the son. But guess who's coming to dinner? From college, the son is bringing a pink-haired effeminate to dinner, and that is his partner. guess who's coming to dinner? You talk about dysfunction. The daughter's bringing home a unicorn-wearing woman. That is, a unicorn is on her shirt, whatever that means. And she has three different colors of hair. In her hair. And that's her future wife. Guess who's coming to dinner? And they expect you to accept it. And you better. They will turn Thanksgiving dinner out. But you shouldn't. You should stand up at the head of the dinner table and say, "Get the devil out of my house." But that's you. That's your thing. You do what you're going to do. Guess who's coming to dinner? Your son, who's been married already three times and has four sets of children, has another one coming. And he thinks nothing of it. Your daughter, who has four sets of children and five husbands already, brings another one home. This is my friend. We just met the other day. And he's the love of my life. Guess who's coming to dinner? It gets worse, people. See, the reason why God hates sin is because it gets worse and worse and worse. I don't know if I'm saying the word right, but it metastasizes like a cancer. It multiplies. It replicates. And it gets worse. It starts to have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Sin is a bad thing. Disobedience to God is a terrible thing. Someone said many years ago, sin will take you further than you want it to go, keep you longer than you want it to stay, and make you pay more than you want it to pay. Sin's a bad boy. However, my beloved, dysfunction does not have to be the norm, even though it is for many. And bless the hearts of pastors. They just adjust to it. They roll with it. May God help them, and may God bless my pastor brothers. Some of them don't know what to do, and so they go to Brother Andy Stanley for answers. And I love him, and I love his father more. But you don't need to be listening to Andy Stanley, pastors. You need to listen to God. Excuse me. Pardon me. So it does not have to be the norm, especially for Christian families. The norm should be what Brother Joshua said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. I can hear Joshua saying this. I can see him in my mind's eye, as the old preachers used to say. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, and don't you know that to many people today, it is evil to serve the Lord. I saw an article just this morning of somebody accusing our former president of getting rid of the nativity scene in all of his Christmas gatherings, because evidently he thought it evil to mention the Lord, because it would offend so many other people. And if it be, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, make up your mind, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Make up your mind. Do what you're going to do. And what thou doest, do quickly. I am here to tell you. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods, the little g gods, which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the little g gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell right now. But as for me and my house, amen, somebody, we will serve the Lord. Have you made up your mind, dear sir, dear ma'am, that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord up in here, up in here? And so, beloved, I am thankful today that my family, while not a perfect family by any means, is at least functional, and let me tell you why. One reason, a made-up mind like Joshua's. By the grace of God, I told my wife before we got married, I gave her fair warning, we're not going to do family the way her dysfunctional family did it, and we're not going to do family the way my dysfunctional family did it. Thank God, before I had gotten married, I had already been saved and preaching the gospel for about 10 years. And I read the Bible through multiple times. And I saw in the Bible how God wanted the family to work. And I said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to do it according to Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. So if you want to get off this bus, it's time to get off right now. I told her that straight up. I don't believe in the philosophy of most black families where the wife is in charge over the husband, controlling the husband, talking back to the husband, belittling the husband, and all other such garbage, which is so prevalent in many homes, not only black homes, but white homes. I said, we're not doing that. I saw that. That doesn't work. You saw it, and it does not work. Your father and mother divorced. I thank God that my father and mother stayed together, but it was a hellacious run for all of us. And I told my wife in no uncertain terms, we're going to do it God's way or no way. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord up in here and whatever. And I went back to the hood days. If you don't start nothing, there won't be nothing. That's bad English, but that's what I said. If you don't start anything, there won't be anything. But if you start something, I will finish it. I'm not just going to do like so many of our evangelical pastors preach today and let it go and don't say anything. A happy wife, happy life, my foot. I'm going to be happy anyway. Because I was happy before I met you, and I'm going to stay happy. And we have so many men who are miserable, just like my dad was, biting his tongue all of his life. And he would tell me, son, and I never tried to tell my dad to take over and take control. I kind of hinted at it a little bit after I got saved, but I loved my dad and respected my dad. I don't know of a man who was more loving. I've never met a man more loving than my dad. And that was because of Christ, but he loved us too much, and he loved us in the wrong way, and he let my mother and his children get away with a whole bunch of evil and sin and foolishness, and I still love him and respect him. But he let us get away with too much. He loved us in the wrong way. He never had a father to discipline him. And he did the best he could with what he had. But he should have put his foot down in the case of my mother and with me, his oldest son, for real, and my siblings. For in some ways they were worse. One time I was home and I heard the two youngest children saying to my mother, calling her Shirley, I almost lost my mind as the oldest brother, calling my mother by her first name, and she let them do it. I almost lost it. I almost lost it, I tell you. I never heard of such a thing. My mother never let me do anything like that. But be that as it may, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why my family of 30 years is functional, not perfect, but functional, is because we kept it 100 on Christ, the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, prayer, and reading God's Holy Word. That's it. When we gather today for dinner and so forth as a family, we're not going to be talking about so much personal things. We're going to be talking about the mission trip that my oldest daughter just came back from to China. The mission trip that my second oldest daughter just came back from in the Caribbean. The thousands of folks who listen to their father preach each and every day, each and every week. And souls are being saved, lives being changed, how we can get some more gospel tracts to them to keep our family tradition of passing out gospel tracts everywhere we go. Thank God for my baby daughter. We had to do my little traditional thing on on Thanksgiving Eve. I got to make it to Trader Joe's. Oh, yes. It's a tradition. That's my second family. They treat me like family. I can't even get out of there. They love me so much. I gotta set aside at least an hour or two, because the manager and everybody, they got to talk to me and tell me about their family and show me the pictures of their babies and so forth, and bless their hearts. They gave me a free sweet potato pie last night on my way out. Didn't have the bite. I didn't ask for it. They just gave it to me. They don't do that for all people. So don't you go there talking about give me a sweet potato pie. And then I normally go to another store to get my prime rib, but I was running out of time. They kept me so long at Trader Joe's. And so I went, and I've been wanting to go over to Whole Foods. And my baby daughter knows I just love this stuff. Especially when you're coming off a fast. I love it. But she kept me 100. We went to Whole Foods. And just as a whole different atmosphere since Amazon took it over. It's less formal. People are more friendly. More down to earth. And man, I'm just excited about the little things I'm getting. But my baby daughter kept me 100 on point. Excuse me, Papa. It's my baby child. Can we pass out some gospel tracts? Right there in the Whole Foods parking lot with all the rich folk. She got out of the vehicle and passed out some gospel tracts. And of course, she gave me a tract to give to the attendant in the store, and I did that. And we've been doing that for 30 years by the grace of God. Thousands. Seriously. I believe our family is responsible for over 1 million tracts being distributed over the past 30 years. I believe that. We call it Moody called it the corporatage ministry. My oldest daughter, Danny, and my second oldest daughter, they live elsewhere, and they wanted us to send some tracts. We have failed them so that they can continue that, sharing the gospel with the lost at any cost. Amen, somebody. Amen. Keeping it 100 on Jesus and on prayer and on witnessing to others and loving other people and discipling other people, that will keep your family from becoming dysfunctional. and make it functional. If you don't get anything else done, do the Lord's business. The purpose of your family ought to be missions, ought to be outreach, just like it is for you personally and for the church. Yes, you ought to serve God through a local church, but you ought to also serve God through your family. Rick Warren, you need to write a book. I'm not going to steal it from you. It's your thing, man. That's your baby. Titled The Purpose-Driven Family. Now, you may have already done that. I haven't seen it. We got the perfect-driven life. We got the perfect-driven church. We have now, purpose-driven church. We have the purpose-driven life. We got purpose-driven businesses now. But we don't have the purpose-driven family. And we need the purpose-driven family. And your purpose needs to be to glorify God, to pray without ceasing, to witness to the lost at any cost. Every day you ought to be witnessing in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Inviting people to church, passing out gospel literature, having a gospel podcast that your family helps produce. Everybody ought to be serving God up in your house. And that alone, with prayer and faith in God, will keep your family together, will weed out any dysfunction, and make you highly functional. By the grace of God, my wife and I have been together and married for over 30 years. She's my first wife and only wife, and I'm her first and only husband. All by the grace of God. Not because we are super duper people. By the grace of God. I was serving God before I met her. She was following me around. I didn't even notice her for years there. But she was serving God too. And God has been the center of our lives. And God, I didn't plan on this. God just led me, because God called me to be an evangelist. That's what my family, that's what we did. We served God every day of our lives. Through problems, through issues, through sin, through imperfection. 30 years. And by the grace of God, God has blessed us with 7 children. The number of perfection, but they're not perfect either. We're not perfect at all. We are all sinners. And that's the case in your family. But by the grace of God, we have for many years been a functional Christian family that has worked together in the service of Christ and His church. And only when we get on the other side, our loving God will show us the impact that we've had. Together, our family has written over 100 books, Christian books that bear the gospel. Everybody in our family has a published book. Thousands of services together. Multiply thousands of podcasts. By the grace of God, we are marking our 30th Thanksgiving together this year. And we are also celebrating the publishing of 10 books about Thanksgiving and gratitude alone. That's not us, my dear friends. That's God. So, number one, I am thankful for the mercy and grace of God in my imperfect but functional family. it does take a lot to live in community with other sinful human beings. In reality, it takes the grace of God. We often buy into the lie that our wife, our husband, our children ought to be angelic. A far cry from the horror stories we hear about in the news of domestic violence, neglectful parents and depressed children, defeated individuals. But the truth is that your family is likely as messy as they come, because each and every member, from the brand new infant to the most gray-haired great-grandparent, is a stone-cold sinner with a desperately wicked heart. Only the mercy and grace of God can help a bunch of sinful human beings coexist relatively peacefully in the same house for any length of time. And that will not happen if you don't make up your mind like Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord up in here. All devils got to be cast out. I remember in the early years of our marriage, and my wife would show me a side that I did not see before we got married. A devilish side, a demonic side. And I remember saying on several occasions, "I'm like Jesus, honey. I believe in casting out devils now." I remember saying that several times. "I believe in casting out devils. We're not going to have the devil up in here. We're not going to have satanic confusion up in here, up in here. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord up in here." All bets are off if you don't obey the word of God up in here. All bets are off. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. I didn't take anything off the table. You can take it off the table if you want. I didn't take anything off the table. If you want to act crazy, I'll show you crazy. That's what I said back in the day. And that's what some of you men need to do with your wife and with your children. You need to put down evil in your family as lovingly as you can. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord up in here. Up in here. Oh, yes, you got to mean that thing, because you're dealing with some sinful, wicked human beings that'll show you a side that you've never seen before. Be that as it may, and that mercy and grace is available to you in spades through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in your and your family. And by the way, some of you are who are separated, on your way to divorce, you done said some ugly things. You got your wife and the husband trying to turn the three children against one another, and all kinds of ugly things are happening. You're trying to make each other jealous. By the way, a lot of folk get killed that way too, so you better be careful. Yes, even in the church. The devil will come up right on into the church parking lot and start shooting. You better be careful what you do, particularly when you're dealing with somebody's children. That is, your spouse's children and your children. Things can get ugly real quick. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. I'm just warning you. Should not be that way, but you just read your paper. Read your local paper. You don't have to read the national paper. Read your local paper. Some bad things are happening. Just the other night, a man who was getting ready to marry this beautiful doctor. They looked like a perfect couple. The mother had taken pictures with the daughter-in-law, the future daughter-in-law, and said, "This is my future daughter-in-law, everybody." Something went wrong real bad and real fast. And he walked on to the parking lot where the doctor was, killed her, then went on a killing spree and a shooting spree inside the hospital of all places, demanding the ring back because she had called off the marriage. probably because she saw crazy in his eyes, because he had already been involved in some other violent situations. Things can get ugly real fast. Things can get dysfunctional real fast, my beloved. You say, preacher, how did you all stay together for 30 years? Prayer. We pray. We had family devotions. We prayed every morning together. My children don't know what it is to not have family devotions and praying together and reading the Bible together. We did it this morning. And you should do it. Prayer is the key. Your family needs to pray together. And yes, it may sound trite. It may be trite in the minds of others, but it is true. The family that truly prays together stays together. Amen, somebody. You say, oh, preacher, you just think your family is so wonderful and so perfect. No, to the contrary. I've been very honest about our family, and you need to be too. Stop. That's another thing. Stop lying. Amen, lights. Stop lying about your wonderful, perfect, angelic family. You're a liar. Your feet ain't made, and your heart pumps peanut butter. You're a liar. This is my sweet bunny. She's my better half. She's my good thing, and y'all don't even get along. Y'all don't even sleep in the same bedroom. Are you kidding me, you liar? Stop it. But that's what you want to project out there in your church and in the community. Y'all are so loved up. And the old sisters who've been married for 51 years and their husband has died and they're sitting over in the mother's corner, they can look right through you and tell you're a liar. Don't get mad at me. And by the way, I've told people for years, stop thinking that people can't see through you and your lies, particularly in the house of God. Stop lying. Stop trying to make people think you got it going on Instagram and Facebook, and y'all are so loved up, and you don't even sleep in the same bed. You don't even sleep in the same bedroom. Stop lying. You haven't had sex in 5 months. You're about to explode. And one of the reasons why you're so angry is because you haven't been laid with your spouse. No wonder you're hungry for hugs at church. Don't you get mad with me. Don't you turn away. You're so hungry for hugs because you don't get any hugs at home. Men married to refrigerator women, pastors going to church, and there's 5 women who understand your husband better than you do. They understand that he needs a compliment, a pat on the back, a thank you. And he's tempted to no end. I don't care how wonderful he is, how Christian he is, how much of a man of God. You lie. You're hungry for hugs, and he's hungry for a little pat on the back, a little encouragement, a little womanly love. That's an explosive situation that explodes every week somewhere. How is it that 15 women in the church come up to your husband, your preacher husband, and, oh, pastor, you really blessed my heart today. Oh, pastor, what a word. Oh, pastor, I tell you what, you hit the spot today. I tell you, pastor, I tell you, I'll call you after church, you know, and tell you what I thought about the sermon. Man, I tell you, God bless you, pastor. And the pastor can get a holy grunt out of you. You have never complimented his sermons. You have never said that was a great sermon. And you wonder why he's drifting. You wonder why his eyes are wandering. But yet, on Instagram, y'all all loved up. You lying hypocrite. On Facebook, y'all got it going on, and everything is just wonderful and hunky-dory, and you're dying of debt. They're about to take back your house and your car. Your 2.5 children, the perfect little children, are devils, and you know it. Why? Because you don't spend any time with them. You're too busy trying to be somebody. Trying to get accolades. Stop lying about your family. Stop trying to make people think it's perfect. It's not. Your Brady Bunch family. Hell, your Adams family throughout the week. Brady Bunch on Sunday morning, you liar. And people can see right through you. That woman out there at that church, she can tell how hard that husband squeezed her. Your husband squeezed her nose that you ain't doing what you should be doing. Because, see, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, sister, your husband, your preacher husband, your deacon husband, he's going to stand like this. God bless you. Good to see you. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, sister. Amen. But if he's hungry for love and affection, and men don't need much love, but they need some affection every now and then. And you know what the other thing they need? They got to have it, just like they got to have some food to eat. Those hugs get very thick and heavy when you're not taking care of business at home, but you got a great Instagram account. So stop lying, please. One of the reasons why you need to stop lying about how wonderful and perfect and angelic your family is and your child is this and that. You hypocrite. And I'm talking to pastors too. Because some of y'all are the worst. Come here, honey. Stand up, honey. Come here, honey. Yeah, isn't she beautiful? I tell you. Uh-huh. Come on up here. And hug up. And y'all haven't hugged in 3 months, you liar. Tell the truth. Tell the truth, man. And shame the devil. And then you can start having some victory. Hurry up and tell the truth, because we can see the truth. We can see right through you. But we're going to really see it, because it's going to be in the newspaper in a few days. When your husband is up in a hotel room with one of the sisters in your church who happens to be your best friend. She's your coffee drinking partner. She's the one you have complained about your husband. And she has taken notes. And now she's got your husband lock, stock, and barrel. Ladies and gentlemen, God's mercies are new every morning. And living in any family, you will need it that frequently, and not only that frequently, but all throughout the day. And that's why it is important that you pray without ceasing. And by the way, if you don't keep it 100 on the spiritual life first, the physical and material life is going to be in disarray and dysfunctional. You need to pray first. Read your Bible together. Some of you all are so spiritual now. I don't even read the Bible with my husband anymore. I don't pray with him anymore. I have my own little war room. I don't need that oversight anymore. I got my war room, and he's at the top of my list. I'm sending torpedoes at him every day. I got my machine gun prayers. And you got a shrine in there to yourself and how wonderful you are. He just has a little old raggedy closet where you threw all of the devil's stuff into. All the stuff you don't want, it's got in there. Go on and get in your closet. I got my war room. which is the size of a master bedroom. You need to pray together, honey. Husbands and wives ought to pray together every day. And if you have little children, they should never know a day without hearing their father and mother praying together for them. The family that prays together stays together. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. There's no other reason why my wife from Jamaica, and if you know anything about Jamaican women, they are some of the hottest and spiciest women you'll ever want to meet. They are very good in certain areas of life. But as far as running off at the mouth and having a bad attitude at times, and when they get real angry at you, they start talking in patois, or patois, whatever it is, whatever, you'll never understand it. But she can cuss you in the patois in just a few seconds and make a connection with an old family member who has a voodoo doll and start sticking pins in you, buddy, in a heartbeat. So I'm just saying. But anyway, be that as it may, there's no human reason why my wife and I should be together, a black American man and a Jamaican woman. That's an explosive situation. But prayer. And sometimes she's been so angry, she would pray in patois. I said, "What are you saying? Don't you worry about it." But prayer is what has kept us together. Prayer is what has kept our family together and on point about the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And then number two, I am thankful for my imperfect functional family having a purpose to live for. You got to have it. Dr. Rick Warren has written the books, The Purpose-Driven Church and The Purpose-Driven Life. And as I have said, I think he or someone ought to write The Purpose-Driven Family. Every Christian family ought to be engaged in some kind of eternal purpose. Amen, somebody. Eternal purpose. You got to have it. You got to have something, in the words of John McCain, that's bigger than yourself. Can't be just about you and eating and popcorn and sitting in the den. Oh, we had those times, man. Wonderful times. I shall never forget the Wednesday nights after service. Rodney Queen called it Afterglow. We'll make it down to Winn-Dixie. We'll make it down to Lewis Jones. That may not be familiar to some of you folks who are not in Georgia, but every state has their Lewis Jones. And for Texas, it's H-E-B. It's not necessarily a national chain, but they have the best meats. And we would go in there after church. And we were so poor that we didn't have the money to go and get it before church. But we'll go get some popcorn and my. Real butter. My. And all kinds of granola and chocolate and, oh my soul, after church. After church on Wednesday nights. We had a lot of fun, but we always prayed first. Read the Bible. First thing we did in the morning. And prayed throughout the day. I taught my children to pray without ceasing. You say, "Preacher, how did you do that?" I taught my wife to pray without ceasing. To do it every half hour, many times. To do it every hour when we were not under a whole lot of attack. To pray every hour. And I taught them that the Lord's Prayer is less than a minute. So just pray you a short prayer. Dr. Rick Warren talks about breath prayers. Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me from this temptation. Lord, lead me. Little prayers like that. will get you through. And so, beloved, every Christian family ought to be engaged in some divine purpose, some kind of eternal purpose that is in service of our loving God, the local church, the local community, and the church universal. And in this day of high technology, there are thousands of things you can do with your family to reach out to a dying and lost world. Take advantage of it. Charles Dickens wrote one time, these are the best of times, these are the worst of times, and he is right about that, particularly in our times. These are the best times in the history of the world to proclaim the gospel, in the midst of the worst times, when an ex-Marine would take his skill and go shoot innocent little Christian children just starting out in life, young people, 18 years old, and take them out. And while he's shooting people, recording himself on Instagram. And so, beloved, my family has helped me in the ministry ever since our children were young. And now you listen to me very carefully. Look at what's happening in the church universal. Those pastors that have been used mightily by God, their families are surrounding them in the ministry. I can't mention all of them. Their children are serving God. Charles Stanley produced a son that has churches. Charles Stanley has one church. His son has multiple churches. Hundreds, thousands of pastors who follow him. I don't always agree with him, but that's amazing. Tony Evans, all of his children are serving God. Amen, somebody. And serving with him in the ministry, and have been doing so for years, and they have their own ministries now. They're doing it big for the glory of God. T.D. Jakes, his daughters are doing it big for the glory of God. Has a son-in-law now serving with him. They just had a revival this past week. I didn't go. I didn't even view it at all. I just saw the advertisement. Whole revival run by the family. You say, oh, that ought not to be the case. Nepotism. Man, that's beautiful. That's how it ought to be. None of us think that the ministry is a family business, but God wants us as head of households, as preachers, our children ought to be engaged in the ministry and living an orderly life, doing it big for the glory of God, and doing more than the parents. That's what's beautiful. Fred Casey Price's son taking over the work, and one of the baddest young preachers in America, just like his dad, but can preach just as good as his dad, if not better, down there in San Antonio. Brother Hagee has a son that can flat shuck the corn. Oh yes, young man, already married, and that church is going to be in good hands, because he's got some things that his dad does not even have. Glory be to God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, having a purpose that goes beyond your family life, that's bigger than just your little family and sitting down on the couch with some dip and chips watching a movie, you got to have something bigger than your little life and what you're doing. That's going to glorify God, lift up Jesus, and help somebody else. Amen, somebody. You're not living until you're doing something like that. Having a purpose that goes beyond your family life and interpersonal relationships will help you weather the abundance of storms that will come your way. Oh yes, when you're always on point, no matter what kind of trick the devil plays, and no matter what kind of evil comes your way, you know what you're going to do every day. You're going to pray. You're going to read the Bible. You're going to witness. You're going to tell somebody about Jesus. You're going to disciple somebody. You're going to teach the Word of God. You're going to do something today, every day, 7 days a week. Now, listen to me very carefully. Now, you're inviting satanic attack. You can rest assured. The family that prays together stays together, but the family that prays together will be attacked by the devil as well. And he's going to be on you like white on rice and black on me. And that's real tight. That's real tight. Now, you make up your mind if you want to do that. But if you pray every day together, read the Bible every day, teach your children to do the same, pass out gospel tracts, witness to other people, disciple other people, preach the Word of God in some way, shape, form, or fashion, even if it's behind a podcast mic, the devil's going to be on you like white on rice and black on me. He's going to try to cause all kinds of problems. But God will protect you, and God will bless you if you stand for Him and use you. And then thirdly and lastly today, ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful for my imperfect functional family because it is a training ground for the future. That's right, the family life. Engaged for God, for the glory of God, for the salvation of lost souls. A place of prayer and reading the Word of God and teaching the Word of God is a training ground for your children. You will really get to know your children if you are a family of purpose, divine purpose. All the bad stuff is going to come out, but all the good stuff is going to come out. I've always known, I have a certain daughter, Danique, she's the fourth child. Or the third child. The fifth child, I'm sorry. I have so many children. She's my fifth child. I always knew she had it in her. She has a very, what I call, steel trap mind. And she can focus and she can flat get things done. And it came out over this past month like never before. And she did some things for the ministry that had not been done in 10 years. And so, under the scrutiny and under the attack of the devil, while you're serving God in a very real sense, the bad stuff will come out. Those who are not faithful, well, you'll see that in them. Those who quit easily, you'll see that in them. Those who get frustrated easily, you'll see that come out. But you will also see the good stuff come out. Their gifting, their talent, that which comes easy to them. Whether or not they are going to have a good work ethic. It's a training ground for the entire family. And it's hot and heavy. And it's tight, in the words of my dad, but it's right. And so when they leave out of that crucible, if you will, and they go out into the broader world, they can handle things because it may not be as thick as it is in the family. And they're able to handle things even better and get a whole lot done real quick. And so, ladies and gentlemen, inevitably in any family, children will grow up, family members will grow apart, geographically at least, and sometimes otherwise. And what an opportunity, dear sir, dear ma'am, you're missing. And one of the reasons why many parents don't know their children, because they were not engaged in purpose together as a family. And so 18 years comes and goes, and you don't even know your son, you don't even know your daughter, you don't know what they're about, you don't know, you're worried, you're fretting because you don't know if they can handle stuff. But if you're engaged in ministry or in a Christian family business, which I think every family ought to have their own ministry and their own business, even though you want to work a job, that's fine. But every family, because you're going to be able to instill character and everything in those children in those 18 to 20 years that you will not do otherwise if you're off at work providing for the children. And they're latchkey kids, they come home from school, they do all kinds of ungodly things, and looking at videos and watching television, and that's what you're delivering to the world when it's time for them to go. I'm here to tell you that the Christian family life ought to be a training ground for your children that'll suck out all of the bad stuff, bring all the attitudes, bad attitudes and negativity, or bring it to the front so that you can deal with it. And it will also show you the good stuff. We quickly learn, as many families have learned, God not only gifts families with individual gifts, God gifts families with what I call family gifts. This is why all of the Osmonds can sing. This is why all of the Jackson Five brothers can sing. This is why all of the Winans can sing. The Clark sisters can sing. It's a family gift. And as you know, the Bible says that your gift will make room for you in the world. And so, ladies and gentlemen, many parents make the mistake of trying to cling to the family as it has always been. And in this day and time, we have many young adults who try to do the same thing. But it is perfectly natural for family members to launch out on their own and walk the specific path that God has for them. They are not abandoning the family, because no matter how much one tries, you never truly can do that. Instead, the experiences, lessons, and discipline that each member learned while in the family will shape them for the future. And the prayer is that they will do, like Jesus said, greater works than you have done. That's beautiful. And may God help those parents who are jealous and envious and try to compete with their own children. You are a sick puppy. Yes, there is friction in families, and it's all good. But friction is not always a bad thing. Friction is often a sign of function in families, as when iron sharpens iron, as the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, so one person sharpens another. Can somebody say amen? Helping them prepare for the future. So, ladies and gentlemen, I thank God for my imperfect, functional family. You may have a dysfunctional family. And let me tell you something. Thank God for your imperfect, dysfunctional family. And by the grace of God, you're going to change that around now and make it a functional family, because your family is going to become a family of purpose and destiny. You're going to start engaging in that which is bigger than yourself. You're going to stay on point. You're going to pray together every day. You're going to pray with one another. If you have adult children, you will text them every day saying, pray without ceasing. I have a little saying, because I'm old and I'm not a big texter, I just put P-F-F-Y. Papa. No, P-P-F-Y. Papa praying for you. All my children know what that means. Now, the devil doesn't know what it is. He probably knows it now. But I'll send that to my children because I'm not a big texter. All of my children can text 100 times faster than I can. They can write a book by the time I write P-P-F-Y. And then every now and then I'll break bad and put an exclamation point. It means Papa praying for you. And if you can't text, if you can't communicate by text, shame on you. You need to do something. You need to go to a texting school, parents. The best way you can communicate with your children today is through texting. So do that. Encourage them to pray. Remind them of the verses that you taught them as children. Pray without ceasing. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Jesus gave a parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And on and on. Your family, like mine, isn't perfect. But through Jesus Christ and the principles found in the Bible, your family can be functional and victorious and bring glory to God by demonstrating His mercy and grace and fulfilling the gospel-focused purpose that He has for you and for me. And we can say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord up in here, up in here. Let's stand for prayer on this Thanksgiving Day. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see the 30th anniversary in this family. In my family, we thank you, Lord, for all of the families who have a similar experience where they have made up their mind to serve you, and they're celebrating today with thanksgiving to you for keeping their family together and intact and on purpose. We pray for all of the families that are hurting today, all of the once married fathers and once married mothers, all of the children who had the joy of having both of their parents. Lord, as I have said many times, because of a lack of knowledge with my father and mother, their marriage was not what it should have been. Therefore, the family was not what it should have been. But Lord, and I don't know why this is, but as the oldest son, I am so thankful that they stayed together as a husband and wife, even though it was rough and tough for all of their marriage. Many twists and turns, many painful experiences, but Lord, I was so thankful that they stayed together. And I thank you, Lord, that I followed their example. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor. And we pray for the healing of those broken marriages today, because that's what you want done. You don't want them to go off and marry somebody else and have stepchildren and children going back and forwards and back and forth. You want them to work it out, to act like adults, and get the marriage back together. And it has been done many times, and you can do it again. For your glory, praise, and honor, for the lifting up of Jesus Christ, for the testimony of the gospel, and for the sake of the children. And we pray that on this Thanksgiving, right now, you would cause husbands and wives to leave their little bachelor pads, get away from their little new friend that they got to go through years of getting to know, and go back and get on a plane right now, get on a bus, get on a train, and go and be, humble themselves and go and be with their wife, their spouse, and their children, and to work it out. For your glory, praise, and honor, and we pray that you'll make every Christian family a family of purpose. Not a perfect family, but a purpose, a purposeful family, a family that operates on purpose and functional. And we pray for the salvation of the lost, of all of the other families that have not trusted you as Savior yet, as they are blinded to the gospel. Open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears and save their souls. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. As always, ladies and gentlemen, I don't try to do this, it's just in my heart to do it. Been this way for 40 years. I don't care what kind of message I preach. I don't feel like I have preached until I have preached the gospel to you. And for there may be one person who is not saved who needs to hear the gospel. And so, my beloved, if you are with us today and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the most important thing I'll say today to you is that you need to trust Christ as Savior. Allow me to show you how you can place your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and from hell itself. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner on this Thanksgiving Day, and that you have broken God's laws, and so have I. One of the reasons why we have Thanksgiving is because we thank God for Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, and we all should believe in him for our soul's salvation. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We all have done wrong. We all have broken God's laws, his Ten Commandments that he gave on Mount Sinai to Moses. There's no document like it in the history of the world. The whole world is run off of it. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. The funeral home director comes and takes the body, and there's a funeral in most cases, and then the body is laid back into the cold, dark ground. We die because of sin. Our multiplied trillion-dollar bodies die because of sin. You know your body was not made to die. You know that. And our soul will live on forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. And if we don't trust Christ as Savior, you must understand that you will die and go to hell and spend eternity forever. I know you don't understand it all. Just believe it all. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and on the road to hell because of your sin. The fact that you and I have broken God's Ten Commandments. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place Jesus Christ said refers to it as outer darkness, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus also talked about the rich man being in hell, how he was so tormented he didn't want a glass of water, he just wanted a wet finger. That's how bad hell is, and hell is forever because sin is bad. Hell is a bad place, but I have some good news. You can be delivered from the punishment of your sins in hell, for God so loved the world, Jesus Christ said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. If he did it for me, a person who hated religion and hated church and had one foot in the club and one foot in the church and one foot in the grave and on my way to hell, he can save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, that includes you. You might be shacking up right now, that includes you. You might be in the club getting drunk right now, that includes you. You might be having sex with somebody you're not married to. You might be committing adultery. You might be a homosexual. You might be a murderer. You might be a thief. Whosoever includes you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the power of sin and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. You'll have a wonderful Thanksgiving if you trust Christ as Savior right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul. Follow me in a simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, including yours. Don't miss out on this great gift. Don't miss out on this great deal. This is the greatest deal of a lifetime. Some of you are gearing up for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. You will never find a deal like this. It is the greatest deal ever. So trust Christ as Savior today. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Give your life to Christ and have the greatest Thanksgiving ever. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your 10 commandments. I have lied many times. I'm lying right now here at Thanksgiving dinner. I'm trying to appear to be something that I'm not. I have stolen things. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have dishonored my father and my mother, and many other sins. I realize that I am guilty and that I deserve to go to hell, just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures, and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. as I believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul by your grace. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways. And help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. Thank you for saving my wretched soul. Thank you for saving my wretched soul. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. And so, beloved, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ today, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins and for mine, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you, and Elizabeth will get that out to you immediately. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, and happy Thanksgiving.